Wednesday, December 28th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. As I mentioned at the end of yesterday's Today in Perspective, we're going to be taking the remainder of this holiday week and catching up on our Ask the Pastor questions. Thanks to our listeners who have sent us a number of great questions, and because we have so many, and because this is a holiday week, we're going to spend the remainder of this week answering your questions to Harry on our Ask the Pastor feature. Harry, our first question comes from Thomas. His question is about Genesis chapter 33. Jacob met face-to-face with Esau in verses 11 through 15, and Thomas's question is, why didn't Jacob go with Esau? Let me read those verses. Jacob says to Esau, "Please take my gift, which has been brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have plenty." Thus he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us take our journey and go. I will go before you." But he said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the flocks and the herds, which are nursing, are a care to me. And if they are driven hard one day, all the flocks will die. Please let my Lord pass on before his servant, and I will proceed at my leisure according to the pace of the cattle that are before me and according to the pace of the children until I come to my Lord at Seir." And Esau said, "Please let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord."
Tom, this event is one of significance. It's one of the evidences of Jacob's conversion back at Peniel when he met God. In fact, when he now sees Esau, he said, "Your coming to me is like the moment when I met the Lord. To see your face was like to see God." In other words, this is a great blessing to me that you've come to me. And Jacob now, who had deceived Esau of his blessing, now attempts to bless Esau. And so he begs him, "Please show me the grace of receiving my blessing upon you," as an act of repentance for the fact that he had deceived Esau of his blessing. And of course, this is a significant moment where Esau amazingly shows kindness and favor. Now, that's the Hebrew word that comes from the same concepts as grace. In other words, I don't deserve you to receive what I'm bringing. Then Esau says, "Okay, now upon this reconciliation, come to my home at Seir." And Jacob says no, and he says, "Let me go and take care of the women and the children, and I'm in the midst of a season, what is called calving and lambing." In other words, my animals are having their young, and the young are weak, and they can't travel. Esau, remember, doesn't have women and children with him. Esau has mounted men with him. He has a small army with him. Well, they're going to go at one pace, and Jacob says, "There's no way. If I go at that pace, I will expose the women and the children and the young animals that are just born. I need to take care of them." And Esau understands that and says, "Well, I'll give you some men." He said, "No, there's no need. I don't want to be any trouble to you whatsoever. I'll come to you." And so he then goes to Succoth, and we even get the word succor from this, that you succor the small animal, you succor the baby. It means to take care of, to provide for him. And he goes there and he builds some temporary tents. He gets everybody stronger. And then he goes to Seir to see Esau as promised. And then he goes on to Shechem. He's actually following the footsteps of Abraham when Abraham came into the land and God told him he was going to give it to him. And when he arrives at Shechem, he sets up his homestead at that point. So he goes to Succoth in order to get his children strong, his calves, his lambs, all of them strong. Then he follows through to see Esau, but he doesn't want to hold Esau up, and he can't drive his people to keep up with Esau's mounted men. Otherwise, I think that's what there is to the story. Jacob's sensitivity to the women, the children, and the animals, Esau recognizing that, and the reconciliation of the two brothers, And then, of course, Jacob will follow to see him at Seir and then go on to set up his homestead at Shechem. And all of that along the Jabbok River, which flows into the Jordan, and thus following the steps of his grandfather, Abraham.
Harry, our second question comes from Victor. Does Matthew 23:8-10 mean you cannot call or refer to your earthly father as father? Let me read those verses. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ.
So if you'll notice, the weight of the text is, of course, the woes that are being pronounced upon the Pharisees who seek positions and titles and honors in order to be elevated and in order to suppress others. And so that's what Jesus is pronouncing the woe upon. Jesus is not ruling out the appropriateness of our use of honorific titles to respect someone. That's not what he is doing. In fact, Jesus himself will use honorific titles in his ministry when he recognizes someone's position. What he is ruling out are those who seek those titles out of self-promotion, self-absorption, and self-aggrandizement. That's what he is doing. In other words, what he's saying is, who seek to be in the elevated chair of Moses in the synagogue, who seek the elevation of titles, don't be that kind of a person that you want to raise yourself up over others. Get a servant's heart to others. That does not mean that I can't honor someone with an appropriate title. I want to call my father, father, but I don't assign my father the position of my father in heaven. And my father, in teaching me how to respect people, doesn't demand that I treat him as if he is my father in heaven. On the contrary, he is a reflection of my father in heaven. Should I honor him? Yes. Should he seek the honor of the father in heaven as if it belongs to him? No. And I honor my teachers. I honor my professors. Should my professors and my teachers seek to take the place of the teacher, the instructor, and that is my Savior, my Lord, my King? No, they should not. And that's what is being taught. So again, simply put, honorific titles may be used by us not to elevate people to the point of deity, but to honor what they are doing in our life and what they have achieved in life. Nor should one with titles seek to demand people elevate them to the place of deity in the use of those titles, nor should their purpose be to achieve such titles in a desire to be elevated. We seek the positions and the achievements we do not to be elevated, but to serve others. And that's the thrust of what Jesus is teaching. Tom, I want to thank our listeners for the opportunity to answer these questions. And since we're in a week that's a little bit of an off week for news in the holiday season, this gives us a chance to catch up on a few of them. And we have others, but I want to thank them. These are great questions, insightful. And one of the evidences is we have a lot of listeners who are very interested to know not only what does God's word say, but what does God's word actually say? In other words, they're wanting to not only know God's word, they're wanting to know God's word rightly in context. It's what the Bible calls handling accurately, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I do thank you for asking. We will treat the questions with respect and with integrity and promise to try to answer them with faithfulness to the content of the question, as well as the context in the Bible from which it comes.
If you have a question for Pastor Harry Reeder, write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Questions related to what do the Scriptures mean, and questions related to the issues of life and how the Scriptures address those issues. Again, our address, askthepastor@briarwood.org. We'll do stop by again tomorrow. We'll answer more of your questions. as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.